I want to draw your attention this evening to Numbers, the chapter 10, the verses we read together. What do we read there in the verse 29? And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. That little phrase, Moses' father-in-law, could equally be rendered, as we'll see, a brother-in-law. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. In these words, we're introduced to a man by the name of Hobab. Much confusion surrounds his identity. Some believe he and Jethro were one and the same. However, we are told in verse 29 that he was the son of Raguel. When we go back into chapter 2, we find Jethro there being referred to as Reuel or as Raguel. And as such, being the son of Raguel, Hobab was therefore not Jethro, but rather he was Jethro's son. And as we come into this chapter, his thoughts now going towards his elderly father, who had some time earlier returned to the land of Midian. He deeply missed him. Considering returning to be with him, Moses stretched out the hand of friendship. With great sincerity, he urging him not to return to the land of Midian. He instead invited him to come with him and with his sister to the promised land. This invitation is even more amazing when we consider that Hobab was not a true Israelite, but rather he was a Midianite. He was by birth a Midianite. And yet, despite his birth, we find Moses now inviting him to travel with him to the promised land. And like Moses, we would like to extend to you this evening a similar invitation, an invitation to travel with us to the promised land. Indeed, in the last book of the Bible, we have there the final invitation. We read in chapter 22 in the verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. This invitation to come was given not only by the Spirit, but it was also given by the bride, who is the church. You see, tonight not only is the Spirit of God calling for you to come to the promised land, but we as the saints of God, we also invite you to come. Might a journey with us to heaven. The hymn writer said, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. And as such, like Moses and like the hymn writer, we would say to you tonight, come thou with us. Begin a journey. Begin to journey with us to the promised land. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you find yourself in the same position as Hobab. Maybe it is a brother-in-law, or maybe it is a sister-in-law, and they're saying to you, come thou with us. And I trust tonight as you hear that invitation that you'll not harden your heart, that you'll not close your ears, that you'll not brush it off, but that this evening that you'll heed it. And that tonight that you might rise up and you might travel with that Christian, travel with them to the promised land. And so I want this evening to consider this invitation given by Moses to Hobab to travel to the promised land. I want you to notice firstly here the proposal. Hobab was no stranger. It seems that he had dwelt with the children of Israel for some considerable time. And as such, he had shared their food and he had enjoyed their fellowship. However, Moses now inviting him to rise up and to travel with them. You notice here that the peril was real, knowing that the way would not be easy. We read in verse 29, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite. we discover in these words that he was a Midianite. When we go forward to chapter 31, we discover that the sins of the Midianites were so grievous that the Lord commanded Moses to go to battle against them. Unsheathing their swords, they were not only to slay their kings and their warriors and to burn their castles, but they were also to slay their wives and even to slay their male children. And as such, if Hobab, in receiving this invitation to travel to the promised land, had rejected it, he would have eventually have been slain. He would have been cut down in the battles to come. And similarly, the rejecting of the invitation to travel to heaven is not a minor matter with minor consequences, but rather it is a major matter with major consequences. It leads ultimately to eternal death. Indeed, Noah inviting the people of his day to enter into the ark, Peter then taking up the story and speaking of the Savior's death, he said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. They despising the invitation to enter into the ark, they were not only swept away by the raging torrents, but we're told here that their spirits or their souls were now in prison. The word prison here is elsewhere translated. In fact, it's translated in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in the verse 4 as hell. You see, it is not the Lord who damns man, but it is man who damns man. Refusing to believe, they imprison their own souls. In the early 1500s, two brothers were born in the city of Noyon. In France, growing up in the same home, they had the same ancestors, the same environment, and they had the same early influence. John was very serious and studious, and he wrote one of the world's greatest books, The Institutes of the Christian Religion. His brother Charles was very different, and Charles pursued a life of sin and wickedness, and rejecting Christ, his soul was lost. What made the difference between these two men? It was that at the age of 23, John Calvin trusted Christ as his own and personal Savior. You see, my friend, your destiny this evening depends not upon your birth. It depends not upon your family. It depends not upon your intellect, but it depends upon what you do with Jesus Christ. Maybe you say tonight, but preacher, I have never committed murder. My friend, it's not necessary to commit murder to be damned. It's not necessary to blaspheme the name of God to be lost. All that you have to do is to reject the invitation of the gospel. And this invitation being left before Hobab, if he rejected it, then, like his descendants, judgment would have come. And I wonder tonight, as you hear the invitation, you hear the Spirit of God say, come, come. My friend, what will you do this evening? Not only the peril was real, but you notice the period was restricted. Urging Hobab to come with them, we read in verse 33, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey. They had been in Mount Sinai for almost 1 year. However, as Moses now began to speak, the cloud which had gone before them began to move. In fact, we're told here that it went a 3 days' journey. According to historians, it moved 8 miles on the first day to Tabra, abiding there for 1 month. It then moved to Hazeroth, and then it moved into the wilderness of Paran. And as such, in receiving this invitation to travel to the promised land, Hobab, had only a matter of hours to make up his mind. Soon the people would have moved on. Soon it would be too late for him to go with them. And you see, the invitation of the gospel this evening is not only a royal invitation, but it is a restricted invitation. It is extended only for a period of time. Indeed, speaking in the parable of the fig tree, which speaks of the nation of Israel, the Lord said in Luke 13 and the verse 7, "Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." He gave it 4 years to bring forth fruit. And bringing forth none, history records that as a nation, the children of Israel were cut off, the armies of Rome marching against Jerusalem. The city was destroyed. You see, the invitation of the gospel, though it is repeated frequently, it is not repeated forever. It is eventually withdrawn. Many years ago, there was in Italy a prince famous for his forbearance. Having often forgiven one particular servant for his insolence, the servant one day came in before him wearing his hat. In those days, you didn't dare wear a hat in the presence of royalty. It was a sign of rebellion. Asking the prince, "Why are you wearing a hat in my presence?" He said, "Sire, I have a cold. I have a cold." And the prince, tiring of his rebellion, he said, "Sir, I will take care that you never catch a cold again." And he ordered the hat to be nailed into his head. And as this prince eventually ceased dealing and bearing with this man's insolence, so there comes a time when God will no longer plead with your soul, when he'll say enough is enough. And here was Hobab. He had to make a decision. Soon the children of Israel will be moving on. Soon it would be too late for him to travel with them to the promised land. And my friend, as you sit in this meeting tonight, I tell you, soon, soon, it will be too late. It is even now the moment of decision. Not only was the period restricted, but you notice the promise was rich. Seeking to persuade him, he said, verse 29, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." The word good here is variously translated through the pages of the Old Testament. It is sometimes rendered as pleasant, other times as rich, and other times as happy. In other words, while this way to the promised land at first looked an extremely hard and difficult way, he was indicating that it would bring many riches. And more than that, it would be pleasant. And you see tonight, while the Christian path at times may seem to be a rigorous path, in reality it is a rich path. It brings many blessings and many benefits. Indeed, the psalmist, recognizing that while their journey at times would be dry and desolate, he said in Psalm 84 in the verse 11, "The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Notice he didn't say that he would withhold everything, but he said he would not withhold every good thing. In other words, traveling, the Lord would do them good. You see, God calls men and women to the cross not to make them unhappy, but to make them happy. He wants tonight to do you good. The cynical journalist H.L. Mencken said, Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. Another old cynic said that Puritanism damages the human soul, renders it hard and gloomy, deprives it of sunshine and happiness. And is that not today the common view of many men and women? They imagine that Christ calls them to the cross in order to make their life miserable, to bring them into a state of bondage where there'll be no more joy, no more happiness, no more blessedness. My friend, Christ calls you tonight not to chain you, but to set you free. Not to take the smile from your face, but to give a smile in the storms. He calls you tonight to do you good. To do you good. Don't you believe the devil's lie tonight. I can tell you tonight from experience that coming to the cross, my friend, yes, there has been trials. Yes, there has been troubles. But my friend, he has done me good. He has blessed me. And then he has blessed me again and again. What an invitation. An invitation to a man who deserved to be slain. Come thou with us. Come with me. Come with me to the promised land. And I wonder tonight, as you hear that invitation, my friend, will you come? Will you come? Oh, there was a proposal, but more than that, there was a problem. While encamped at Sinai, Hobab was quite content to remain with the children of Israel. However, they now pulling up their stakes, things were beginning to change. And giving his reasons for not wanting to go with them to the promised land. You notice here there was the problem of family. Look at verse 30. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Canaan was not his land. While his sister was married into the children of Israel, he was by birth a Midianite. When we go back into the earlier chapters, we find that as well as Sapphira, who was married to Moses, he had six other sisters. In Exodus chapter 18, we find them all accompanying their father back to the place of his birth. And Hobab, knowing that if he accepted this invitation to go with Moses, he would never see his sisters again. He would never see his father again. And because of these connections, he refused and he turned back. Why, the love of family and friends is to be commended. It can at times even become a curse. It must never be permitted to hinder us in traveling to the heavenly land. Indeed, the Lord Jesus himself inviting a certain man to come after him, we read in Luke 9, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And putting his loyalty to his earthly father before his heavenly father, the Lord condemned him. Love to Christ must be paramount. It must come before every other call. Was that not the failure of Herod, putting his love of his wife before his love of Christ? He gave the order for John the Baptist to be beheaded. Lot's wife, loving her friends in Sodom more than loving the Lord, she turned back. And in that moment, turning back, she became a pillar of salt. And I wonder tonight, what is it that's stopping you coming to Christ? Is it because of loyalty to a father, to a mother? Maybe tonight it's a fear of losing a friendship. Oh, my friend, it's not worth losing your soul over. I've known people and they have come and they said, preacher, I know what you're saying is the truth. I know that I need to be saved. But listen, my wife has passed on and she wasn't saved. And because she wasn't saved, I don't want to get saved. I want to be with her. My friend, what foolish reasoning. An awakening that man or that woman will have in that moment. They open their eyes in the torments of a lost eternity. And I wonder tonight, is that what's stopping you coming to Christ? Because a father's not saved, or a mother is not saved, or because a brother is not in the kingdom. I say to you, my friend, better for you to trust Christ and then pray for them and seek to lead them to heaven, to lead them to heaven. My all hope I could see was his family. And he said, that being the case, Moses, I'll not go. And I wonder, is that the case with you tonight? I think there was also the problem of fame. Look at verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite. From other scriptures, we learn that his father was a priest of Midian. And as such, Hobab had been brought up in idolatry. More than that, his father's titles being hereditary, he would one day become the priest of Midian. And as the priest of Midian, he being second only to the king in the land of Midian, it would have brought to him great wealth. It would have brought position, many privileges. And knowing that he would have to give all of that up, he said, Moses, I can't travel with you. I can't travel with you to the promised land. And it's not the reasoning of Hobab, the reasoning of many today. Because of the love of position or the love of pleasure or the love of profit, they reject the Lord. Indeed, the Savior himself said in John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light not only brings warmth and life, but driving back the darkness, it dispels fear. And they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, not because his offer of salvation was not attractive, but because they loved their sin. And I tell you tonight, the love of sin, the love of silver, if it's not slain in your life, it'll slay your soul. It'll bring you down into the darkness of a lost eternity. I remember reading about a man who loved a bargain. And on one occasion, being asked how he was getting on, he said, I've managed to sign up to 3 magazines for a whole year for just £1. He then went on to say, the only problem is we get one I don't want, and we get one my wife doesn't want, and we get one that neither of us want. My friend, when is a bargain not a bargain? It is when you give up that which is eternal for that which is transient, that which will pass away. And I wonder tonight, are you selling your soul for something that won't last, a pleasure that will fade, for silver that will rust and corrupt? Are you selling that which is eternal for that which will pass? And Hobab, he looked and he thought, I could be the priest of Midian. People will fall before me. I'll have gold and silver. And he said, Moses, I can't travel with you. You say a fool. But maybe, my friend, you're the fool. Because maybe you're doing the very same thing this evening. I think there was also the problem of foes. Had he accepted this invitation, everything would have changed. As he passed through the wilderness, he would have been engulfed in wars. It would have meant hardship. It would have meant conflict. It would have meant suffering. However, not to go would cost him the promised land. and all of its treasures. You see, while coming to Christ may bring temporary buffetings, it will eventually bring eternal bliss. What we will give up to go with Christ will be as nothing in comparison to what we gain. And I wonder tonight, as you sit in this meeting, is that all that you can see? All you can think about is the laughter at work tomorrow? When you say, I can't do this thing, or you say, I am a Christian. But my friend, don't give up that which is eternal for a moment of mockery or for the laughter of man. He had the invitation, and here he was. My, come thou with us. Look, Hoba, we have been here. We're friends. I'm married on your sister. Will you not travel with us to the promised land? And at first he said no. But I think not only they have the proposal and the problem, but lastly, I want you to notice the promise. Moses refusing to accept a negative answer. He said in verse 31, leave us not, I pray thee. And then in verse 33, we read those sad, tragic words. They departed. And the word they there includes Hobab. However, in Judges chapter 1, verse 16, and in Judges chapter 4, in the verse 11, we read of his descendants being in the land of Canaan. And it seems to me that while Hobab at first said, no, I'm going back to the land of Midian, he then thought again. And he changed his mind. And he went with them to the promised land. In so doing, notice the presence he enjoyed. Look at verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them. The ark not only speaks of the presence of Christ, but it was his throne on earth. And as such, Hobab going now with them, he had the presence of the Lord. The Lord went before him, making the rough way smooth. And while the path to heaven most certainly has its problems, it also has a presence. The Lord goes with us. I remember reading about a man visiting in Aberdeen, and he went into a little house and he said to the woman, they tell me that Jesus visits here. And the wee woman looked at him and she said, nay, you're mistaken. The Lord didn't visit here. He dwells here. And I tell you, my friend, if only you tonight begin to travel to the promised land, the Lord will go with you. In fact, he'll go before you. He'll prepare the way as you go home. He'll prepare the way as you go to work. He'll prepare the path for you this evening. Not only the presence, but notice the protection he enjoyed. Verse 34, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. The cloud not only protected them from the burning heat of the eastern sun, but as a pillar of fire by night, it warded off the wild, devouring animals. More than that, as they traveled on that journey, they found in the morning manna every day except the Sabbath. And you see, my friend, in Jesus Christ, there is not only pardon, but there is protection and there is provision. He'll shelter you and he'll supply you along the way. Maybe you say, preacher, but if I could see him, the devil would give me a hard time. Yes, he would. But my friend, between you and the devil will be the Lord. He will guard you. He will supply you. He will meet your need. I think also was the place he enjoyed, because in Judges 4, verse 11, we find his descendants pitching their tents in the plain of Zanam. They finally came into the promised land. You see, my friend, bringing you out of your depravity, the Lord will not leave you, but he'll bring you into his dwelling. He loses none along the way. He'll bring you to the promised land. The hymn writer said, I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Can't you almost hear Moses singing those words to Hobab? Hobab, you know we love you. Hobab, you've enjoyed the blessing of being amongst the people of God. Now don't turn back. Now don't go back to Midian. But Hobab, travel with us. And we'll do you good. We'll do you good. And we'll come into the promised land. And I say to you tonight, travel with us. Travel with us to heaven. And my friend, we'll do you good. We'll do you good. And one day God will bring you in to the promised land. Those that he brings out, he brings in. Hobab, come with us. We're on a journey. Unsaved one tonight, we're on a journey. It's a blessed journey. And the destination's even better. Will you come with us? Will you come with us tonight? Will you turn from your sin and invite Christ into your heart to be your Savior? Join with us this night. May God write his word.